Apparently, Bart had to shut down a subway station because the tear gas was seeping down in. There's a stunning picture of a woman in a wheelchair in the clouds of tear gas, and protesters ventured out into the tear gas swarm to help her get out of it. An absolutely stunning photograph of a police barricade on one side, a line that went on of police in riot gear, and on the other side, one lone man, a young man in a Navy uniform holding a Veterans for Peace flag. Beautiful picture. Touching and awesome.
Was it local police coming out in Oakland?
In Oakland? Apparently they brought in police from everywhere. By contrast, across the bay in San Francisco, the Prez was at a $5,000 a plate fundraising dinner. And watching what was going on in Oakland, if this were Syria or Tunisia or Yemen or one of those places, the Prez, State Department, and mainstream media would be screaming, putting pictures all over the place, live blogging and yelling about human rights violations.
Wow. But that's going on already on Twitter in any case. The humans don't really need the mainstream media for that.
Oh, no. Although, I have to admit, CNN this morning wrote a piece that was fairly laudatory of the Occupy moment. Movement, it's reached the point where it can't be ignored anymore.
Yeah. What do you think the effect of that crackdown in Oakland will be?
People are so pissed.
Yeah.
Really, really angry. These are Oakland PD, are the people who shot Oscar Grant. No, I guess that was Bart. Guys, I'm not sure who pulled the trigger, but the people of Oakland have not forgotten Oscar Grant and assorted other police brutalities, and they are angry and they are vowing. In fact, I, to the best of my knowledge, they are marching tonight again to retake the park
peacefully, I presume.
Peacefully. There was chatter that some protesters late after the tear gas and the concussion grenades and stuff were throwing water bottles at the police. Who knows?
Yeah. What would you like to see come out of the Occupy movements?
It's so exciting for me. I'm an old broad. I've put in 50 years of activism. I have to sit down and think how many times I've been to jail. I see this as some kind of magic moment when a perfect storm of foreclosures, unemployment, scandals, the endless wars, and how many trillions we have washed down the tube, killing other people, returning vets who talk about what it's like to kill somebody else's kid and then come home and have to live with that. My brother is a Vietnam vet. He came back with his body intact and his mind blown away. And there are a lot of days when I think dead would have been better.
Ouch.
It's a grief that doesn't end, and I so sympathize with the families. The suicides, oh, that's an ache that will never quit.
No doubt.
PTSD, it won't go away. You might get it under control.
So it seems like there's a lot of reasons why people are out here. What about what's going to come out of it that's good? You know, how is it going to institute change, or what kind of change do you hope to see?
As I started to say, what activism has done for the half century that I know has all been building and working and processing to this moment when some spark has ignited, and it's not perfect. It is a process. I don't know where it will go, but this is the most excited, the most impressed I have been for a long, long time. And I want people to think, 6 weeks ago, give or take a day, this started. If somebody had said 8 weeks ago, this was going to happen, I said, nah, no chance. This is amazing. And what happens next, you know, it's in our hands. But I look around and I see people doing the right stuff. But I actually came over here to make an announcement.
Please.
Because it's being sort of low played, understandably. But the Portland Business Alliance is bringing one of the top 1%ers to our town next Thursday, November 3rd. Jamie Dimon. I don't think that's how his name is pronounced, but I like saying it. He is the chair and the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase & Company. He will be here, right here, a few blocks from Occupy Portland, next Thursday, November 3, also the opening day of the G20 Summit, from 11:45 till 1-something at lunch. I'm sure this has been arranged a long time ago. It is an interesting coincidence. And I trust that Portland's going to give a proper little Beirut welcome to one of the top percent of the 1%.
Wow. Martha, do you have any labor guests lined up for us later on?
You know, there was nobody in the labor tent. But exciting thing, at 5 o'clock, the labor movement, Jobs with Justice, who I love. Jobs with Justice across the country are some of the most marvelous people who weave together jobs and social issues and solidarity among all unions. It's so impressive, and they do such good work. Anyhow, in solidarity with Occupy Portland, they are meeting at 5 o'clock at Director Park, and that's Yamhill and Taylor on Park Avenue, and then they're going to march on down in solidarity with Occupy Portland. And that's kind of fair trade-off, because Occupy Portland went and marched over the bridge with them on Saturday in the Portland to Vancouver Solidarity March. One of the most awesome things of the Occupy movement is bringing together so many voices and labor. Oh, labor was just waiting for somebody to light the spark. The nurses, the teachers.
In Wisconsin, you mean, or
who was it, Boston? Oh, I forget. So many occupations to keep track of. Maybe it's Boston when the nurses were arrested.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And they are really angry. Nurses all over.
Nurses are tough, too.
Nurses, you better believe they're tough. I mean, have you ever had to stick a thermometer into the butt of an angry patient?
My sister-in-law is a nurse with the VA, and she's a tough one.
And nurses have faced, from their side of the aisle, the cuts in health care, the ever-escalating, something like 20% a year, health insurance premiums have gone up, and all the regulators just kind of rubber stamp when the health insurance providers, who are really bloodsuckers, they don't do anything except get in the way of health care. The nurses are overworked. They see people who should have had treatment come into the emergency room when it's a crisis. They know what's going on in real people's lives. And besides messing with their work, their pay, their benefits, their job security, they also see what it's doing to their patients. And that really, for most nurses, is a prime directive, is good health care.
Yeah. Would you like to see that become one of the demands, some kind of change in health care policies or something in that direction, or?
I mentioned earlier this CNN article, and one of the things that it said was that the Occupy movement has refrained from making very specific demands. And Occupy Wall Street statement is one of the finest documents I've read in a long time.
They don't call those demands. They call it grievances, I guess.
Grievances, issues, whatever. And there's so many issues. We could start a whole encyclopedia. And I personally would start with the wars because that's half the money, mm-hmm. and it's all on credit.
Is that part of their grievances from New York, or can you say what impressed you about that document?
It was well written. Mm-hmm. The craftsmanship of the words was a beautiful thing to read. It didn't fumble. It didn't babble. It was a lovely piece of like literature to read.
Nice.
And it seemed to cover what the Quakers call the sense of the meeting. And it looks like some people really put a lot of thought, a lot of care, and a lot of soul into crafting it. And I wish I had a copy with me so I could read it, but it's truly wonderful.
No doubt our listeners can find that on the web.
And the CNN article said that one of the things the Occupy movement is doing right is not listing specific ABC demands, because then those can be nitpicked apart one at a time. And
it also could be divisive if your demand didn't get on there, for
example. That's true. No. The anti-war people will say, oh, we're first. The healthcare people will say, we're first. Mm. One of the magic things of the Occupy movement is it's all one issue. We all know it's all one issue. And each of us comes from a different perspective, a different set of priorities, but they're all weaving together. And to make a difference in any of our specific group demands, we have to make a difference in the whole system.
Right. Do you see change coming gradually, you know, electing a few of the right people, or is it going to be a little more catastrophic, for lack of a better word?
Oh, a couple years ago, my U.S. rep, who had disappointed me more times than I can count, his free trade votes suck. I was in his office in D.C. talking with an aide about anti-war when he joined the rest in a unanimous support of Israel's attack on Lebanon. Kind of lost faith in that moment. I don't see any of them who are not owned by campaign money. I don't see any of them who are spending more time paying attention to the country than they are paying attention to partisan politics. So I had an opportunity facing my U.S. rep, who had disappointed me and kept mouthing platitudes, to rip up my voter's registration card, throw it down, and say, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a registered voter. I'm done with voting for the lesser of two evils. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I like that. I think I agree with that. My co-host, Joe, I wonder if you've got an update on the writing of a list of grievances in Portland. We were just talking about the New York list, and Martha really appreciated that. And I wonder if you have an update for us. I know you're hanging around the information booth quite a bit.
Right, right. I've been kind of the embedded journalist here for KBOO for quite a while here. I'm sleeping over, and I've been talking with a lot of people here about what's going on. They actually put out a questionnaire. There were some at information and some in the library that got snapped up. It was in the interest of forming a message to put out. They had about 40 different concerns or so on the list, and they asked people to circle the ones that matter to them most, and if any of them matter to them, to what degree, 1 through 5. And they just collected those just a couple days ago, and they're sorting through that process now and trying to come to some kind of collective message, similar to what Occupy Wall Street did.
How will that be worked out? A General Assembly, or is there a special committee for that?
I believe it is going to go to General Assembly. Yeah. Once they crunch all the numbers, they're going to announce it to a General Assembly meeting. That's my belief anyway. That's how they're going to go about it. Certainly, they're not going to do anything without consensus.
Sure. You mentioned you're staying out here. How is it at night?
It varies. Last night was surprisingly mellow. Right now, during the day like this, it's a nice, calm feel to it. Things pick up around dinner time, and then things mellow out a little bit. And then I'd say around 10 o'clock when outside people come in and they start getting loud and the drum circles start and all that, things pick up. And then sometimes it can go till 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Last night, most of the noises I heard was coughing.
Okay.
There's quite a lot of people have caught the yuck. That's actually what I hear is going around the whole town.
Yeah.
But the encampment here has been hit pretty hard with that. So yeah, most of the noise was coughing, which was a kind of a nice change, actually.
Are you sleeping okay, Joe?
It goes day to day.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll go to medical, and they have a plethora of earplugs.
Yeah.
And they help. They help quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'll grab a cough drop just to help my neighbors out.
Yeah, I stayed out here two nights, and I got pretty sick, and that was two and out for this, Joe. So I appreciate you being out here, because I know we've got to keep an eye on our gear.
Absolutely. And I think it's great that we have a presence here, and I think it should be a 24/7 presence. Because there's a lot of voices here, and to be able to provide one more avenue for them to get out, it's an honor to be part of that.
Yeah. So are you officially involved in information or helping them out in some way? Or?
Right. When we were, the booth here was down for about 4 days in a row, and since I'm staying in camp, I wanted to still be a part of it. I officially joined the information staff. So far I've done one dish duty. I want to do some more of those. If any group here needs volunteers, it's kitchen, dishes, and sanitation.
Right.
Anything you can do, pick up a broom, pick up some trash, anything. They're always needing help. Right. But yeah, the information has been great. The benefit to that for me has been there have been a lot of people from the city coming in and just thanking us. Thanking everyone for being here and, you know, expressing that, you know, I wish I could stay. I can't camp out, but you're doing it for me. Oh. And thank you. Powerful, powerful stuff. I mean, and streaming in here. And another thing that I think is wonderful that's been starting is some schools are considering it's a field trip. And they will bring their students to info and ask what it's all about. And if I'm behind the desk, I'll give them 15, 30 minutes and they're all taking notes and eager to learn, and that's just encouraging.
One thing that really strikes me is there seems to be a very strong sense of community here. Do you get that as well, and Knight as well? Or?
Absolutely. Without that, this would not exist.
Joining us now at the KBOO tent is my friend Jim. I've known Jim since I lived in Oak Park outside of Chicago, and I moved here, and I was going to the downtown library, and guess who was standing out front? Jim. Jim, what brings you downtown Portland today?
I came down to drop off a donation for the kitchen, and I brought down the Occupation Times newspaper. I'm trying to get people to go to that website and check it out and print it.
Where did you drop those off, sir?
The newspaper's over at the library. And
okay.
Yeah, so it's there for people. But, I mean, everybody's on the Internet, or most people. So if you are, you can just go to occupationtimes.com and print it out and start handing it out. There'll be a new issue coming out on Friday.
Where is that published, Jim?
You know, I'm not even sure. I mean, it's published here in Portland if you print it.
Okay.
But it's a survey of international news on the occupation topic.
Any updates from Oakland for us?
I haven't heard any. You probably know a lot more than me.
I just talked to a few people.
Okay.
Anything else you want to tell our listeners?
Please come on down here and see what's going on. It's quite a carnival of people and ideas, and all voices are welcome. And I think, you know, you'll find a place to plug in, come in, have some time, and see what's going on.
That's awesome, Jim.
Bring some food, too.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon. Tony is joining us, I believe, from the information booth. Martha, do you want to sit in? Do you want to interview him? I want to grill him a bit. However, whatever you want.
Well, Tony, Tony's going to talk about union outreach, and have a little more insight on the march today. Hi, Tony.
Hi there.
How you doing today?
Doing great.
I know. I see you around here a lot.
It's a big day.
It's a big day because of the march at 5 o'clock.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Tony, last time you were here, you mentioned that you were the interface for unions, I guess. Is
yes.
that right? And what was the role in organizing this march? How'd that happen?
Basically, I've been AFL-CIO and Jobs with Justice has been helping out a lot in organizing the unions to come to this march. So my goal has been getting as many of the 10,000 people that came out for our first march back and marching at that. So we're going to be starting at 4:15 at the water fountain in Occupy Portland, right next to the food tent. And we're going to march from here to Director Park to join up with them.
Well, 4:30. How'd the organization happen? What's your outreach procedure?
Doing a lot of canvassing.
So door-to-door with flyers and so forth?
Yeah, door-to-door a lot. We had a wine and cheese social on Sunday. We met with business owners, credit union representatives, and labor union representatives to talk about the march and talk about what's going on November 5th, which is National Bank Transfer Day.
Right. Anything else going on politically coming up?
Well, yes. A lot of things going on.
Getting back to today's march, I'm guessing... Can you give us a list of some of the unions that will be represented that will be joining?
There will be a lot of people from SEIU, from Local 483, a lot of unions that are represented underneath AFL-CIO will be showing up. ATU 757 will hopefully have a lot of people there.
Is there a specific statement that you hope to make with the march? Or?
That... The unions and Occupy Portland are a symbiotic relationship. We are fighting the same fight, and if their goals or their desires match with the 99%, and if their goals are justified, then we will fight for them. We are a coalition of freedom fighters here, and we want to enlist them to come with their grievances so that we can help them.
Everybody get along pretty well at the marches?
I'm sorry?
Does everyone get along pretty well, the union people?
Yeah. I get along with them pretty well.
I was fortunate enough to meet some union people during the big march on October 6th, and they assured me their entire union was behind the whole movement. And it makes sense, but it's just great to hear.
Yeah.
It does make good sense. So what else is going on politically? Any other actions coming up, Tony?
We have on October 31st, we're going to be doing a trick or transfer, going door to door, handing out flyers for candy.
That's Monday night, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
For the National Bank Transfer Day on November 5th.
Okay. So go door to door, give them a flyer and get a piece of candy and move on to the next one.
Yeah. It'll be pretty fun. Hopefully, we'll miss, some parents and kids who are going to be, going out. It'll be fun, nice little lighthearted sort of protests.
Right. Sounds good. How are things going in the kitchen? Getting enough food rolling in still?
Oh, yeah.
Where does that come from typically? Someone asked me and I couldn't really say exactly.
Well, we have a lot of people from Food Not Bombs here.
Right.
And they are very, very well experienced in going around town, getting food from, new seasons that would normally be thrown out, getting food from restaurants that would normally be thrown out, and just having a coalition of people that are going around getting things donated all the time.
Yeah, they're really awesome. Are you staying out here, Tony?
Yes, I am.
How's that going?
It's going pretty well.
Sleeping enough and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like you're in good health.
Yeah, I feel healthy. I feel good.
Yeah. The vibe here seems awesome. I was talking to a guest earlier, and it seems it's good for the mental health somehow to be here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to tell our listeners today, Tony?
Please come out to the march. It's going to be really vibrant, really awesome. It's at 5 o'clock, so it is for people who do work. So once you get off work, don't just go home and watch TV. Come down and wake up.
Come down and wake up. And if you can get here at 4:30, come to Occupy Portland, I guess.
Yes, definitely.
So can you give those two meeting places and times again?
So 4:15 in Occupy Portland, right outside the food tent. There's a water fountain there that's sort of a cornerstone, a meeting spot. We'll be marching out from there at 4:15, and the next meeting place is at Director Park at 5 o'clock. We will start marching at 6:15, and I'll be speaking down there. We're going to march to Pioneer Square, and I'm excited about that.
Awesome, Tony. Good luck. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, no problem.
What time? Joe's got something. One more question. Yeah, what time people leaving are meeting here at 4:15? What time do they hope to be at the meeting?
About 4:45, 5 o'clock.
Terrific.
Yeah. Wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you.
I hope to see at least part of it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
That was Tony from the information booth, who's often kind enough to stop by and say hi. He's organizing a march today called March Together with Occupy Portland. That's today, October 26th at 5 o'clock. If you can get here at 4:15, come to Occupy Portland. Meet at the waterfront. March down to meet our labor friends at Director Park, which is between Southwest Yamhill and Taylor on Park Avenue, downtown Portland. Well, Joe, one of the most interesting things I've heard out here in terms of demands is I was talking to a young fellow named Josh, who often also stops by, and he said that we don't have any demands because they don't have anything we want. I thought that was pretty awesome. I'm not sure if it's, yeah, you know, literally 100% true. However, I thought the sentiment was right on.
Right. You're going to see where he's coming from on that. There is a great feeling here that we do have what we need here through generosity and cooperation. There are definitely things we want, I must say, on the big picture.
Yeah.
The numbers of support, like I've said before, is just staggering to me and just very heartening. And the outpouring of the city around us, which is part of this movement. The camp itself is just a focal point, and it gets people talking about it. But the main support is outside of this camp and throughout the city. And it's like people have said, if the people of the city of Portland didn't want us here, we wouldn't be here, because we are here functioning due to their generosity and contributions.
Right. We talked with a guest earlier about what happened in Oakland. The police got their riot gear on. Do you see anything like that happening here?
So far, that's not even in the wind. Of course, you know, in the back of everyone's minds, you know, nothing's in stone. I guess, suppose anything can happen. But as I've stated earlier, we've been Occupy Portland movement's been in constant contact with the police department and on very good cooperative terms with them, and they've been a wonderful presence here. They stay out of our way when they need to, but you know, they do their rounds, and this is part of their rounds, and they have every right to be here, obviously. But they've been supported on the few occasions where the safety committee here was dealt a situation that was a little beyond their authority. They have actually sought police help, and they've given it. They've made it clear they're here for our protection as well.
Right.
A couple days ago, one of the lieutenants of the police department walked through and said everything was looking good, and keep it up, and good job.
Awesome. A model, perhaps, for interaction with the police.
Right. I think Portland's lucky. Portland's a little different than a lot of the things, like you just said, about Oakland. And, of course, Boston had quite the crackdown. And one of the most heartening things I've heard is the Albany movement, which is fairly new. I'm not sure, maybe about a week old or so. But the mayor of Albany told the police department to go get them out and arrest the people. And the police department said no.
Wow.
They said they aren't doing anything wrong. Wow. We can't arrest them.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Right. You know, and not to speak for anybody, but I can't help but feel that a lot of people in the police department might be secretly help, you know, with us, in that they are union, and we feel like we're fighting for their rights as well as other working people.
Fantastic.
They are part of the labor force.
Any police joining the march, as far as you can tell?
Joining the march?
Marching.
I don't know. If they are, they're probably not in uniform.
Yeah.
The ones in uniform are there to protect the marchers and, of course, property.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, I have no doubt that this is going to be another peaceful march, as is Portland's method.
Go Portland. Another, what I'll call a deep truth I learned about the occupation is when I was corrected when I called it a leaderless movement, and another bright young person told me, no, it's a followerless movement.
right. Instead of saying, you know, there's no leaders here, everyone likes to say everyone here is a leader.
Everyone here is a leader, and there are no followers. And how can you guys make any decisions in that case? You've gone to several meetings and you work in information. How do decisions get made?
Well, of course, through the GA, the General Assembly meetings. Proposals are brought up nightly, and they're well discussed. Maybe a little too well to the chagrin of some people, they try to make their decisions methodically, and they seek consensus. If a proposal is put forth, it does not pass unless it gets a 90% approval from the crowd, and that, which is a pretty high margin for wanting consensus, which was pretty remarkable, actually. And they want to make sure everyone is in agreement here. They don't want anyone to be left out and feel like, you know, what they want is being left behind. So proposals need a large amount of people to want for an agreement to pass.
And do you feel there's a wisdom in that method? Is there a wisdom of the mob, as it's called?
I don't know if I'd call it a mob, but I guess the collective mind.
That's what I meant.
Yes. I do see the wisdom in that. Because as you try to get a 90% consensus, you continually build the thought that we are all in this together and we're one community working with each other and of solid mind.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that in a minute.
Sure.